All right. For our next session, it's my pleasure to introduce people who need no introduction, as we've all said. First on my right is Darlene Payne Smith. She is a shareholder at Crane, Caton, and James. She's a member of the firm's fiduciary litigation group and the firm's probate, trust, and guardianship administration group, and she mediates two cases a month, at least they say. And then next to her is Judge Guy Herman, who is from probate court number one of Austin, Travis County, Texas. And he has been sitting as the probate judge since 85. We thank them both for doing this. They're going to speak to us on mental commitments versus guardianships.
Take it away.
We're going to start off going over mental illness commitments and things of that nature. And I want you to understand that we are different than in many states because our constitution in the state of Texas governs the commitment of people into mental hospitals. It's not that way in every state. Some states, it's pure statutory law. So what goes on in, let's say, Oklahoma may be totally different than what would happen in Texas or Louisiana. So you've got to understand that it's Article 1, Section 15A of the Texas Constitution says the legislature shall enact laws governing the commitment of persons with mental illness for observation and or treatment and provide for appeals in such commitments. It prohibits the commitment of a person of unsound mind except on competent medical or psychiatric testimony. And then Article 1, Section 15 of the Constitution says there shall be a jury trial in all involuntary commitments exceeding 90 days. However, a waiver of this mandatory jury is provided for in Article 1, 15A. And then by statute, the legislature has mandated that there be a jury trial in every case where the commitment is longer than 90 days, which means if you have a extended commitment, which is a one-year period, there will be a jury trial unless there's a waiver. Now, I like to think of the commitment process as a three-part deal, and that being, number one, there's going to, more often than not, an emergency detention of somebody, and there is a warrantless emergency detention, and then there's an emergency detention with a warrant. We took a survey about 4 years ago, and 70% of all counties are doing emergency detention without a warrant. And there's a number of reasons for that. One, if you pick up a person with a warrant, they end up going to a jail, and then the jail personnel have the sheriff has to monitor them. Sometimes 15-minute walkthroughs all the time. You've got people that are in jail that are having serious problems, and you have people in the jail that will set upon them, or they will set upon someone in the jail. Some of it is just keep going off all night long and somebody coming over and beating the hell out of them. And you had a number of suicides in our jails. And these suicides, you end up with a lawsuit against the county, and ultimately the county will end up paying money. So I believe the warrantless detention is the best way because they don't have to necessarily go to jail. They can be taken to the nearest psychiatric facility for placement there.
Can I interject something? Mm-hmm. Being a former police officer myself and having two kids that are, I get a lot of questions about how to get their person to safety. You may or may not know that a police officer without a warrant can take a mentally ill person into commitment possession and also take away a firearm that is on their person or any weapon on their person, even if they have not committed a crime with that weapon. If anybody needs the form for that or to look at it, I'm happy to provide it. But sometimes it gets a mentally ill person who has done nothing except be a little scary off the street, takes a weapon away from them, they get a receipt for that weapon, and they have to know to keep that receipt, which most mentally ill people will not. So it gets one weapon of a mentally ill person off the street.
And the interesting thing about that is that the warrantless detention provides that the officer can take the weapon, give them the receipt. Getting a warrant, the officer cannot take the weapon from them.